Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fire It Up with CJ on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour to ignite your best life. Each Thursday on 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we'll have new voices from a wide range of experts and everyday people about the best way to make the most of your life. Today we have a really special treat. We have Hank Queen, who is going to be talking about leadership and how you can be more effective as a leader within an organization. Hank is a former VP of engineering and Boeing, a VP of engineering and manufacturer at Boeing, where he worked for 30 years. And during that, Hank rose 9 levels through the ranks of Boeing. And in his final position, Hank led 40,000 people. I think that's incredible. Okay, welcome, Hank.
Hi, CJ. How are you?
Isn't 40,000 people actually larger than a small village? That's a huge amount of people.
I guess it depends on your definition of a small village. It's certainly bigger than my definition, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So tell us a little bit. One of the things I ask everyone who comes on the show is how you first got fired up about leadership at Boeing and when you realized, like, you truly understood what it meant to be a leader.
Well, I had worked at Boeing about 5 years in engineering, and I was a wing designer, which is a very esoteric thing for an aerodynamicist. I did the wing design on the 757. I went into this thing called field service, where you go out and actually work with the airlines directly because I wanted to see what happened to airplanes after we built them. And I really enjoyed the experience, but it was a management position. And after 2 years, I just couldn't stand it. So I realize I'm just not cut out to be a manager. I have no interest in being the manager. I moved back from Atlanta to Seattle. I took a downgrade because managers typically make more than engineers. I took a downgrade to go back into engineering, and I was happy as a clam. I ended up working for a guy, though. He's a Japanese-American guy by the name of Mac Kiono, and for the first time in my life, I actually saw leadership firsthand. Mm. And he was a first-line manager, had a small group. I think there were 8 of us in the group. And he led in a completely different way than it had ever occurred to me. Because when you're in a company, you watch people manage and you watch people lead. And you assume, oh, that's the way you do that. And there was a huge difference between the people I had come up against before and Mac. And Mac was very committed to helping each of us just, you know, it sounds trite, but be the best we can be.
Yeah, wait, before you go on, let me ask you a quick question. So to clarify management, and I love, by the way, a guy named Mac Kiyomo.
Yes.
That is a great name. Okay. So that's just like Mildred Rosenblatt, another
there you
name.
Go.
Which is my name. So mm-hmm. So tell us about, before you went, one of the things that you said, the difference between management and leadership. What did you mean by that?
Well, some people make a big deal out of it. It's not a big deal. You need to be able to do both effectively to get anywhere. But management, I view it more as caretaking. It's taking care of the things that need to happen around there that are ongoing. It doesn't matter whether it's making sure you got phones, making sure you got computers, making sure people know their assignments, making sure the assignments get done, making sure people get paid. All those things are managing. And if you don't do those, it doesn't matter whether you're a leader or not. It's not going to work. But when you take a step away from not doing what you're doing right now, but taking people somewhere that they are not, then you're leading. And what Mac was able to do was to take us as a group of individuals to become a team, to deliver support that was truly world class, and to learn and grow as people while we did that. And he did that by making sure he knew us. He knew what was important to us. He knew what we could and couldn't do. So when he gave us a job, you know, there's theory X management, theory Y management, theory X, Y to Z management. People say, well, you should never be a theory X manager where you tell people how to do and what to do. If you don't know how to do something, then a manager is Mr. Theory Z or Mrs. Theory Z, and they say, just go do the job. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You're in trouble. Mm-hmm. So he knew when to help. He knew how to help, and he knew when not to help. So, and it was a very different style of leadership. And I finally got it, what his fundamental underlying principle was. It was leadership as servant. He was there to serve us as the leader. And because he did it that way, I loved what I did. I loved learning from him. And he convinced me that if I went back into management, I could lead and manage in a different way. And so I actually owe my entire management career to having come across Mac and having worked for him for 4 years. It was an amazing experience.
That's a beautiful story. You know, it's always amazing how one person can completely change a course of your life. And, you know, and who knows if Mac even knows that he did change a course of your life, but it's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And tell us, you know, because one of the things that struck me when you were talking about him is how he really knew you. I mean, how does a manager really get to know a person? I mean, tell us what that was like when you were working with Mac.
Well, if I could tell you just a little bit more of the Mac story.
Yeah,
he was my boss when I was in field service and I hated my job and I left.
Oh.
And he changed jobs because he didn't want to work there either. But I had committed to Mac that I would stay in the field for 3 to 5 years. And so my last conversation with him was, I'm not going to do this anymore. And he was angry. It was not a good thing when I showed up at work on my first day and found out the guy I had just offended in my previous job is now my boss in my new job.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And yeah, it's funny in retrospect.
I'm sure it wasn't at the time. I know it.
Yeah. But what he did though, CJ, was, and I assumed at the time it was just because he had a small group. He would actually spend some time having a conversation with each of us every week. He had some time set aside from whatever he did where he just sat down and talked to us about how's it going, you know, and he asked us about what we've done at Boeing. What do you know? What do you like to do? What's your family like? He made an attempt and was successful at making a very personal connection to each person, not crossing the boundary of I'm still your boss and, you know, we work together here. So he didn't lose the boundary of professionalism, but he certainly added a very personal touch to with what he did with each of us and the way he connected with us. And so I knew him. I knew about his wife. I knew about his son. And he knew about me and my daughter and my wife, and he knew what I had done at Boeing, what I knew, and especially what I didn't know. But the most important thing he knew about each one of us is to get a feel of what was important to us at work. What did we really care about when we came to work?
So I mean, it's just having a relationship, right? I mean, that's a key thing, I think.
Yeah.
That people, I don't think, even recognize that if you are having a relationship and relating to someone, that it makes a difference.
It absolutely does. And
right.
And it, you know, on a more pragmatic level, it dramatically improves your ability to manage and lead those people. Because again, you can't ask people to do something they don't know how to do, and you should never tell people how to do something they already know how to do.
Yeah.
So it makes a difference at that level too.
Yeah, beautiful story. Let's talk a little bit more about that. We have to take a commercial break right now, but what a wonderful story, I think, and I think it's one of those things that people don't recognize, right? It's all about having a relationship and knowing that person and how much more you can get versus, you know, I think people, when they do one-on-ones nowadays, it's like, tell me what you've done. What are you going to do? What are you going to do next? You know,
right.
It's not like, hey, tell me about your family. I mean, it's kind of a lost art, I think.
It is.
Yeah. So, you're listening to Fired Up with CJ. Today we have Hank Queen, who is a VP in manufacturing engineering at Boeing, where he worked 30 years. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how nice guys like Hank can finish first. You can find out more about our guests and listen to this and past shows by going to www.fireitupwithcj.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
So this may sound simple, but when you're planning a road trip, you have to figure out where you're going first. With the Take Shape for Life program, the destination is living life at optimal health. So what does that mean? It means more energy. It means less medications. And yes, it means losing the extra pounds, which is actually part of the getting there. Talk to a Take Shape for Life health coach who's been there. Listen to their story and their journey. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise. Unveil the power of the divine feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe? Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, very good. When does this start?
This starts in August.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Where is it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great. We should spread the word.
Absolutely. Spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back. We're back on Fired Up with CJ. My guest today is Hank Queen. Hank Queen was an executive at Boeing where he led 40,000 people in manufacturing, engineering, and quality. Before we took a break, we were talking about Hank and how he got inspired by leadership and through this wonderful Japanese man named Mac Kiyono. I just love that name. Okay. Before we continue, I wanted to make sure everyone knows how to contact you, Hank. Hank, can you give us your contact information for our listeners who want to?
Yeah, email is the best way to get a hold of me, and that would be at hank@sunburstretreat.com.
Cool. And then you have a website, too, right? The www?
Yeah, it's www.sunburstretreat.com.
Yeah. Okay, wonderful. Okay, so we were talking about how you got inspired, and you're saying that one of the things that your boss had done was that he really got to know you, and that unlike typical one-on-ones where it's just like a download of what have you done for me lately,
exactly.
He was asking you, you know, how are you doing, what your family was like, and tell us a little bit more about that. You were telling us that before the break. Tell us a little bit about how that led to your work in the engagement leadership stuff you do now.
Well, Mac set me up. What happened was he kept telling me that you need to go back into management. And even though I was inspired by what he did, I felt inadequate or incapable to lead in that way because I'm an engineer. I'm not really good at connecting with people. I think most people go into engineering because they feel they're lacking in people skills.
I don't know. I'm going to get a lot of complaints from engineers with that comment.
Oh no, you won't. We get along well together because we don't care whether we understand each other or not. But what happened was he kept talking to me about going back into management, and I kept saying I'm not really interested in that, Mac. And in fact, one of the most ironic things he used to say was, Hank, someday you're going to be a vice president of engineering at Boeing. And I'm thinking, this guy is smoking something because yeah. I'm not even going to be in management again. And it turned out he was right one day. But what he did was he came to my desk one day and he says, you're in management again. I said, Mac, what are you talking about? He said, you're in management. He said, we have an opening in a different group over here. It's in mechanical systems. And I talked to the director. I stuck my neck out, and you're a manager now. They're going to put you in that job. I said, Mac, I don't know anything about what they do, and I don't want to be a manager. Then he pulled the guilt trip thing. He would have made a great mom. He said, after all I've done for you, and I put my name on the line, and I stood up for you, and he says, you're going to say no and make me look like an idiot and a fool in front of everybody.
Oh, man, he laid it on heavy.
He did. So, but the thing that really broke me out of my mold was that job, because I took over a group that I didn't know what they did. Mm. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
So I did some real soul searching in panic, thinking, okay, they know what they're doing. I don't know what they do. How am I going to add any value whatsoever as a manager, as a leader of this group? What can I do? And I just decided to ask them, how can I help? It was that simple.
And so you didn't get any resistance from people who are like, oh, you don't even know what you're talking about. You've never done my job. None of that.
No, it was ugly. There was a guy in the group who was so much more qualified than I was to take this position, and he had been overlooked in the promotion process, and he was still there. And, of course, the people in the group really liked this guy, and I did too. I knew him. He was a great guy, and he should have gotten that job. But for whatever reason, I know the reason, he was considered not to be mature enough, old enough to be in that position. Mm-hmm. He was very capable. They didn't give him the job, so I came into this with somebody who hadn't been given the job, who thought they should have been given the job, and the entire group agreed with him. So not only did I not know how to lead this group, not know what they did, they were all angry at me when I showed up.
Oh, that's a good place to be.
Yeah, it was a great start. I really loved it.
You kind of have problems with your starts, don't you?
Well, if you look at it, it was perfect. It's just like this perfect storm. So
how did you turn it around? What did you do to turn it around?
Well, I had this really cool idea that I would ask them for help.
That's it?
I met with them. First of all, I met with the guy who didn't get promoted, and I said, you know, I don't know why, because at the time I didn't. I said, but I want to make sure that one thing happens. If I ever leave this position, that you're going to replace me, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that that happens the right way the next time. And he was a smart guy and a good guy, and he let go of his resentment. But I was trying to figure out, how do I ask them how I can help them, right?
Right.
So I had this really, really stupid idea. I wrote a questionnaire because, you know, I'm not good at sitting down and talking to people. So I wrote a 26 question questionnaire, that had all these questions about their work and things that weren't working well in their work and this and that and the other. And I gave it all to him and asked him to fill it all out and give it back to me. And I waited a week and nobody turned it in. And then I waited a week and nobody turned it in. And finally in the group meeting, I said, hey guys, I'm just trying to help. Would you please fill out the questionnaire? And the next meeting, I had some of them in, and there's a guy in the group that was, I guess, blunt and honest are words that you could capitalize around about this guy. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, I'm disappointed. I'm just trying to help you guys. Only half of you have responded to these questions. And this guy, I'll call him Bruce. Bruce said, Hank, you know, we really enjoyed reading your survey, but there's one question you forgot to ask us. And I'm thinking, how could I have forgotten? I had 26 questions on this questionnaire. And I said, what question was that? And he says, do we even care about the other 26 questions on this survey?
That is pretty blunt, isn't it?
It's very blunt.
Wow. So then so, what did...
Well, so, just to finish that, and I said, so Bruce, I'm just trying to help. And he said, well, then why don't you just ask us, what do we need? That's a single question. Just ask that question.
So what happened? Okay. You asked, what do you need? And then what were some of the responses afterwards?
People wanted to learn other jobs in our group, and we set up a cross-training program. People were worn out when we looked at the overtime profile. 20% of the people in the group were working 80% of the overtime, and they wanted to level load that, which means they had to learn different skills. Mm-hmm. And all I did was, I didn't do it for them. I said, okay, since I don't know what you do, I'll come up with some structure, and you guys populate the structure with who's got what skills, who's going to train who, who's on call for what. And it was amazing to watch the change in that group when that happened, because people have been stuck in roles doing the same thing for 3 to 4 to 5 years, and all of a sudden they're learning something new. And it worked so well, because somebody could go on a vacation, we still had an expert in the group.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and so workloads went down and smiles went up, and people were having a good time. But that was the primary thing that they wanted, other than me not to send them 26 questionnaires.
Isn't that fantastic, too? Because it really just shows, I mean, I think what you did, I mean, in retrospect, to me it seems like what you did is you just built trust. I mean, you not only got, I mean, while you didn't maybe, you know, get to know them that well, you got to at least know what they wanted. And isn't that, I mean, it's a fundamental thing, isn't it? To just what do you want? And what can I do to help? It's pretty simple.
And I did end up doing what Mac did. I did end up sitting down with each one of them and getting to know them as people. And just walked away feeling so honored that I got to help them and I got to lead that group. And I really enjoyed my return to management. It was, you know, so it set in place a model and an approach that I used in every job after that.
Hmm. So how would you do? I know you've talked to me about how can I help, get to know people, but tell us about the model that you developed over time.
Well, if I can just jump ahead, maybe to my experience when I took over engineering.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, the little background on that is that Boeing has, in the Seattle area, has a unionized technical workforce. And this was in 2000, and there were roughly 22,000 people in that union, and about 17,000 or 18,000 worked in the commercial side of the business, which is where I was. Mm-hmm. They had a very unsatisfactory contract negotiation, and they went on strike. And they had never gone on strike, and it was the largest white-collar strike in the history of the United States. So 3 days into this strike, I got promoted to be the person in charge of this workforce.
You really do have bad starts. No, but you know what it is? You're so calm and collected. They're like, this is the guy that we need to bring in here. Oh, my God. I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah. Actually, it was the guy who was running them was a lot smarter than me, and he decided it was a great time to get out.
All right, that's fantastic. So we're going to go on break, and I want to hear a little bit more about your model and how you handled the largest white-collar strike. Oh, my goodness. All right, so you're listening to Fired Up with CJ. Today we have Hank Queen, who is the VP and Manufacturing Engineer at Boeing, where he worked for 30 years. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about how nice guys like Hank can finish first, and reluctant managers, really, how a reluctant manager became a VP. You can find out more about our guests and listen to this and past shows by going to www.firedupwithcj.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Now is the perfect time to learn Tai Chi and Qigong. These ancient Chinese healing arts, also called mind-body practice, are simple to learn, clinically proven to be effective, and can be practiced by anyone, anywhere, at any time. For 10 years, the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi has been a respected leader in mind-body practice training. Visit IIQTC.org. Empower yourself, empower others. Visit IIQTC.org for more information on mind body practice. IIQTC.org.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
We're back on Fired Up with CJ. My guest today is Hank Queen. Hank was an executive at Boeing where he led almost a small village of people, 40,000 people in manufacturing, engineering, and quality. Before we took a break, Hank was talking to us about a model that he developed over time while he was working at Boeing and how he used this model as he rose 9 levels at Boeing. So before you continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact Hank. Hank is at hank@sunburstretreat.com. And, Hank, tell us a little bit about the model that we were talking right before the break.
Okay, well, the model really is leader as servant, and some people find that offensive. So whatever your mental image is, but the way it works is that you do everything possible to make the people on your team successful, which means you need to know them as individuals to be able to do that. And when they are successful, then you are successful. It's that simple.
And no, I mean, was there any, like, literally a model where you're like, here are the steps that you have to go through? Or?
Oh, yeah. We as time went on, we got more structured. And as I was saying before the break, I took over this organization that was on strike. Once we got the strike settled and the team came back, the 17,000 people that were in my organization, it was a horrible place to be. Some of the people went on strike, some didn't go. They were very antagonistic to each other in the workplace. The managers had tried to do their best while these people were gone, so they were all mad at their managers. About the only thing they were unified in was that they hated me, because if I'd have done my job right, there wouldn't have been a strike, although I wasn't actually involved in it. But you have this little honeymoon thing, and then people forget that. So I was looking for a way to give the people in the workforce something positive to focus on, because we had a 12% attrition rate. People were angry. Morale was way down. Boeing did an annual survey of employee satisfaction. We had the lowest morale ever measured over a 10-year period at that point in time. Mm-hmm. I had gone through my own career leading in this simple way, but it never occurred to me that there's a structured way to apply that model to any size organization, literally any size organization. I met another guy by the name of George Amamura that had a structured approach, very simple but structured approach to doing this in two groups that he led and gotten some phenomenal results. And the principles were the same as the way I led, but it was much clearer and it was easy for other people to follow. And his approach was really measure how happy people are, ask them what's important to them at work, and ask them what's in the way of doing a good job at work. Three questions. Those conversations that come out of that question caused lots of improvement activity. And it also connected people to each other, and it connected people to their boss again, and it connected people to their work, because they started getting out of work what was most important to them.
Wait, how happy are you at work? What's in the way at work? What was the third question?
How happy are you at work? What's most important to you at work? Mm-hmm. And then what's in the way of doing a good job at work? Hmm. And we implemented this three-question process across the entire engineering team about 2 or 3 months after this strike, and took a huge risk. Didn't train anybody on how to have conversations, didn't really do much to help our managers, and I feel bad about that in retrospect, but we got some just truly astounding and amazing results out of it, because people started caring about their work again and caring about each other again. And the word engagement was not in use at that time, but what we were seeing was people engage, and engage in a positive way. And so it is a very profound way to get people to engage in the workplace.
Wait, but let me make sure I understand this. So you took this idea from George that had these three questions, and it's a pretty simple model. It's basically way of, like, how happy are you, what's in the way at work, what's most important to you at mm-hmm. work. You told your managers then to then ask their employees these questions, and that's it?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how you rolled it out?
Yep. That's what
and
we
then
did.
And then you tracked, and so you had this marker from the previous market research that showed the 12% attrition, lowest morale in over 10-year period.
Right.
So what were the results afterwards? I mean, how were you able to track the progress? I mean, it sounds like it was more of an energetic, you could feel it on the workforce. Is that you could feel it as you're walking around? Is that right?
Well, absolutely, you could feel it. But I mean, we had real data too, though, CJ, because attrition rate dropped from 12% to 3%.
Wow. And over what period? What period is that over?
Well,
a year?
Over a two-and-a-half-year period. One of the things that happened, though, if you'll remember, 9/11 in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So about a year into this program, one thing I've learned that when you lead a large organization, it's like steering a very large ship. You turn the wheel in and you wait. It takes longer the bigger it is. But we had 9/11, and we laid off thousands of people in the middle of this program. So I'm convinced that some of the results we got were damaged or reduced by improvements mm-hmm. we got were damaged or reduced by that layoff. But 2.5 years later, we had the highest morale ever measured at Boeing.
Wow.
we use a standard measure of engagement, which there's a large surveying company that I won't mention, but they use a standard set of questions, and we use those. We had a 58% improvement in engagement, and I've seen companies that brag a lot about 5 and 10% improvements, 58%. And remember, we had a layoff in the middle of this. We got a very significant improvement in productivity. So we got this 40% improvement in morale, which is huge, this 58% improvement in engagement, and we got great business results coming right behind it. And it was that simple process. We had to find a way, though, because you implement it team by team by team. Each leader has those questions of the people that report to them, right? Each team leader. Mm-hmm. But when you have over 2,000 managers in your organization, you have to have a way to connect all these, what you're getting back. Because a lot of times they'll say, what's in the way of making work better? They'd point to a problem they had no authority or capability to solve. Mm-hmm. So we had to elevate those, work on those at the right level. And when it made sense, we fixed them. But most of the improvement came from the immediate stuff within a work group that they could fix.
Right. So it wasn't necessarily just these three questions. There was a process and structure around it.
So there is a structure, right?
I mean, like if it's how happy or I'm not. I'm just trying to imagine a hypothetical conversation with some of the people. How happy or I'm not happy. You know.
It wasn't a yes or no. Yeah. It was on a scale of 1 to 10.
Okay.
So the reason why we did that so we could measure whether it was going up or not. We wanted to know, were we doing the right things? And so we asked that question every 3 months.
Okay. And so these are the three questions that you ask on an empirical study where you ask these three questions on a 1 to 10 scale, and then you looked at it.
Yes.
And then in addition to that, you had your managers just talking to people, getting to know them, finding out what motivated them.
Well, it's several things, right?
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, the one that drove them – the really, I called it a heartfelt conversation, is what's the most important to you at work? The way that went was the person would tell their manager, they would sit down together and build a plan to make that happen. So it's kind of like a performance plan, except that both people are participating in it, and it's all about making, fulfilling the needs of that employee at work. And
I
can tell you, it scared the managers a lot, because people say, well, what if they ask for a raise? Or what if they ask for a promotion? Or what if they ask for my job?
Mm-hmm.
We kept stats on the answers to that. And it turned out that money was pretty far down the list, actually. Mm-hmm. Most people wanted more recognition. Most people wanted to learn. And most people just wanted work to be a nicer place. That was what showed up at the top of the list over and over and over again.
Wow, interesting. So let me make sure I understand this. So you had a measure where you would how happy you're at work, a 1 to 10 scale, and then like an open-ended question, what's in the way at work, what's most important to you at work, where they would fill out that information. So again, you had a three-question questionnaire.
Yes, we did.
Another questionnaire. All right, then they would submit it to their manager so that you can kind of correlate what were the most, you know, most relevant things, which were recognition, learning, and work to be a nicer place. Isn't that fascinating, huh?
Yeah. So when you look at it, the physics behind it, the people physics behind it, if you look at an employee's view of the company they work for, about 80% of their opinion is based directly on their first line, the manager they report to. If they have a bad manager, they have a bad view of the company. If they have a great manager, they have a good view of the company. So and then there's another thing, that if you want people to care about their work, you have to show them you care about them first.
It's a simple thing,
question,
isn't it?
That question, too, did that. The manager said, hey, I care about you. What do you care about at work so I can help you get that? And the opinion of the person and that manager went up. So, of course, morale goes up, and, of course, the opinion of the company goes up. But, of course, also they engaged, and when they started being cared about at work, they started caring about their work and doing a better job of it, too.
Yeah, simple but powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
So like, let's say that someone wants to do this. I mean, this is kind of, I mean, it's one thing when you're running a 40,000 person organization and you're just like, well, I can just do this because I run all these, you know, run this whole organization. What do you do if you're in a smaller organization? Do you think it would work, you know, in a smaller organization? And let's say you're in a corporate culture that's not even anything about this. How would, what are some, like, easy, like, you know, three simple steps that someone can take if they they're intrigued by the idea and they want to try it out?
I would do a version of that question three. What's in the way of doing a better job at work? You may or may not be comfortable answering that second question, what's most important. If you ask the group that and they give you a list of things back and you allow them to pick the thing that they want to work on, and this is important, you allow them to pick it, and then you allow them to organize around it, you allow them to change it and fix it, they take a very different view of their work, because for the most of them, for the first time in their life, they've actually got some control over their workplace. And it's a very simple thing to do, very low risk, and the appetite to fix things at work will increase dramatically, because people don't like things that bother them at work. They don't like to do work that creates poor quality products or costs extra money. That's also annoying to people, and they'll get rid of it if you give them a chance.
Right. So even if you just simply ask one question, what's in the way of work? And then what you do is you basically give them back control. That's what you're doing.
You give them back control. Yeah. What's in the way of work going well here? And then just step out of the way.
Okay. So I think we may have time to take a couple of questions. So you're listening to Fired Up with CJ. Today we have Hank Queen, who is a VP at Manufacturing Engineering at Boeing. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll take phone calls if we can. Chris, you'll have to tell me if you can. And when you call back, when you call at 1-800-930-2819, again, that's 1-800-930-2819, please leave Chris or station manager your name, location, and question. So you can find out more about our guests and listen to this and past shows by going to www.fireitupwithcj.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Are you ready to tap into the healer within? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the real doctor is the source that lives within you, that heals within you minute by minute every day? The healer within is the innate intelligence of the human body. When we cut our hand with a piece of glass, we don't have to command the body to close the wound and grow new skin. It knows how to heal itself. We do have to nourish the skin by disinfecting it and remove the glass, or it cannot heal. The innate healer relies upon us to assist in this healing process. Our role is to identify its needs, provide the substances required for the healing, and remove the obstacle. CRA, Contact Reflex Analysis, is an energy assessment which translates human energy into information. This information provides me with the ability to identify your needs as a healer and to design a specific solution for you. Contact us to achieve optimal health at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232, and visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And Dr. Pat!
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, very good. When does this start?
This starts in August.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Where is it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great! We should spread the word!
Absolutely. Spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, we're back with Fire It Up with CJ. My guest today is Hank Queen. Hank Queen was an executive at Boeing, where he led 40,000 people in manufacturing, engineering, quality. And before we took the break, we were talking to Hank about three simple things you can do as a manager to just, and in Hank's case, improve morale, just make for a happier workforce. So it's what's in the way of work was the first thing that you said to ask folks. Is that right, Hank?
Yes, that is, yeah.
Yeah, and then and before I forget, so the other thing I'd like people to know is that Hank is reachable at 800-930-2819 for the next couple of minutes. So if you have a phone call or question, please leave your name, location, and question at 800-930-2819. Okay, so Hank, tell us, so if you wanted to take step two, what would you do next? What's in the way of work? What else would you do?
You know, I would go back to this other question that we use to create these conversations that create engagement, which is what's most important to you at work and why? And then set aside some time to have that conversation with somebody who reports to you. It's amazing what you'll learn about each other. And out of that conversation, if you can come up with one concrete goal or step that you could take together to help that person achieve something that's important to them, you'll see, again, another whole level of engagement occur. And engagement is just a measure of how people are bringing their hearts and their minds to work. Mm. But study after study after study has shown that companies with high levels of engagement, teams with high levels of engagement, perform dramatically better than those without. If people are being engaged. I think everybody's worked in a place or in an environment where nobody cared. It's a waste of your life. So if you want to increase engagement and you want to enjoy your own job as a leader, if you gave that a simple try, you would be amazed at how much it improves work for you and for everyone around you, improving business performance at the same time, significantly improving business performance.
So let's say you had a manager and you wanted to, you know, you were a manager and you wanted to okay this with your manager. How would you broach a topic with him or her?
Well, I
didn't
do that.
How'd you settle it in? Yeah, thanks a lot. Not helpful.
Yeah, that made it very easy.
Let's pretend you did. What would you say?
I would go to my manager and say, you know, I've been studying engagement and here's some data around it. And I would like to try a simple way of improving engagement in my team, and here's what it looks like. And what would you think about that? And if you ask that first question, how satisfied or how happy are you with your job on a scale of 1 to 10, you'll get immediate feedback on trend data. So if you ask that question alone, like every 30 days, you'll tell whether you're headed the right way or not. And remember, this is a benefit to the leader, too. So if you want your job to be better, it would be worth taking a chance and talking to your manager.
Well, you have one believer, Larry Vett from ServPro, I hope, of Washington County, just called. And he does not want to go on air, but he does believe in engagement at their office. And he completely agrees with you, Hank. Larry is
cool.
A product development director. That's cool.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry. Anyone else who would like to call, we're at 1-800-930-2819. And thank you, Larry, for your comment. I think it's – so what do you think is the current fascination with engagement? I mean, is it – what do you think is happening?
Well, there's two parts to it. First of all, it's a way to survey some company can sell their product, right?
I mean,
to be blunt, there is a certain element of that. But it's founded on real – it's a measurable symptom of what's going on in a company that bears a lot of scrutiny. The issue is that a lot of the times you take these surveys, like going to the doctor and they take your your temperature, and they say you're running a fever, and you say, what do I do? And I say, I don't know. I just take your temperature.
Right.
So the question is, what do you do that's effective and simple to improve engagement? And, you know, CJ, I'm working with a partner of mine in Chicago by the name of Dick Axelrod, and we actually do this work under the Axelrod Group now, where we offer a structured approach to do this in small companies and large companies with proven results. And you know, we got all these great results at Boeing, and it wasn't optimized in any way, if you know what I mean. Literally, I was desperate. I was so concerned about our workforce. I took this out to the workforce, and we did it well before it was ready, but it worked. But we've spent a lot of time refining this process, providing training for managers to have these conversations effectively, structure around processes to get the data, sort the data, analyze the issues. So, you know, if people are interested in that too, it's called everyday engagement, which makes sense because you want to do something every day to improve engagement. But that's at the Axelrod Group, and they have a website too, www.everydayengagement.com. And I'm always willing to help people through that too. So if somebody sends me a note personally or through that, they just want to try something out with their team, send me a note. I'd be more than happy to give you some advice and some help.
Now, you are really the nicest guy in the world. That just proves it. Sorry.
Okay, sorry.
You are. No, so I hear you loud and clear. If you're like you're in a large corporation, I assume that in a larger corporation like Boeing, unlike what you did where you just kind of, it seems like you kind of just were winging it.
That's a great description.
You're just winging it, and it worked out well. You're a lucky man. You're a smart man. You're an intuitive man, right? I mean, it's obvious, right? You know, if people are unhappy, you're like, why are you unhappy? What can I do to help you?
There's a clue. Yeah.
But then the also for larger organizations, it seems like, you know, basically the Axelrod Group, everyday engagement, you would come in and set, you know, how do you set up your data? What kind of questions do you ask? How do you analyze results? How do you train managers? That's what that group would do. Is that right?
That's true. And because we've structured it better, you don't have to wait 2 years to get these amazing results. They start happening immediately. Within 3 months, things start to improve significantly, even in a very large company.
That's cool. Okay. So the website is www.axelrodgroup, AXELRODGR group.com.
Right.
And then, Hank, if people want to, they're in a smaller organization, they may not be able to afford a consultant, they could actually email you with a couple questions. Is that right?
Yes, they can. And we do have a slightly different product for small teams, we call it intact teams. We do train the whole team on engagement, but we include team structure, we include some leadership and communication skills. So, and I love teaching that product. So if people are interested in that, they can give me a call too.
Okay, wonderful. So Hank at sunburstretreat.com, and Hank also has a wonderful retreat center. How would you describe it? Retreat place? Retreat?
It's just spot. A retreat. Yeah.
Retreat. In Bend, Oregon. So you can also reach him about that. And what's your website for your beautiful place?
Sunburstretreat.com.
Sunburstretreat.com. Cool. So thank you, Hank. This has been just a wonderful conversation. I want to thank you for sharing your leadership strategy and your work experience at Boeing. What amazing stories you have, Hank. You never cease to amaze me.
Thank you, CJ. I appreciate it very much.
So I want to thank you listeners for tuning in to Fire It Up with CJ. Please join me every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Next Thursday on Fire It Up with CJ, we're going to be hearing from Raghini Michaels, an expert in behavioral change, and we'll be providing some tools to keep you calm and connected during the holiday season. No fights with your relatives, please. So have a great week, and I'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.